Psalm chapter 4. To the choir master, with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of God.
Well, good morning again. My name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here at Life Connection. We're grateful that you're with us as we continue to walk towards Christmas in this Advent season. And Advent is extremely helpful for us because oftentimes I think we can bring such sentimentality to the Christmas season that it almost becomes hokey. Like, it's great that we have these warm, fond memories from our childhood, from our youth, about Christmas and that sort of thing. But sometimes we get so caught up in that we forget Advent is God's message to real people living in a real world with real difficulty. And so Advent becomes this helpful reminder, as Carson said, as we pause and we think on what God is saying and doing through his son Jesus, that we can realize that this isn't to be a moment in time where we merely become sentimental, thinking about all of those fond family memories, but instead we could remember that in the midst of it, God is meeting us right where we live. And so Advent's extremely helpful because we need a word of hope because we live in a hope-starved world. We need to have a picture of what love really looks like because our world doesn't understand. And so God sends his son and sacrificially gives his life that we might understand and know and experience his love. We find ourselves walking in the shadows of darkness, and we need God to shine a ray of light that we might understand who he is and what he's all about, that we might relate to him. Advent's meant to be encountered right where we live so that we can experience hope and peace in this life. And this morning, that's what we're going to explore, this theme of peace. Often, our experience is very, very different from some sort of idyllic notion of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Instead, we find ourselves in the midst of difficulty and distress. Like, I know that there are many of you who walked through those doors and you brought a lot of baggage with you. There's hurt, there's anger, there's bitterness, there's confusion, there's grief, there's heartache. And what we need to understand is that Advent is this season of year where God speaks very clearly to us in and through his son Jesus, reminding us of what's true and real in this world. And so Psalm 4 is extremely helpful for us because we encounter David, who wrote this psalm, in probably what is his darkest hour of life. More than likely, when David writes this, he's holed up in a cave somewhere, running from his son Absalom, who wants to kill him and take over the kingdom. And so David and those who are with him are holed up, confused, not knowing what to do, not knowing if there is any hope for tomorrow. So David isn't you know, some superhero figure, some syrupy, sappy religious figure that we look to find kind of, I mean, in some ways, what tends to happen during Christmas is we look for ways to make ourselves feel better. David's not given to us as some syrupy, sappy religious figure to kind of make us feel better, but rather a reminder that God meets real people in the midst of real difficulty and real distress. And so as we come to this psalm, like we should be able to relate very, very significantly to David's experience. Because we all know what difficulty and distress looks like. We've experienced it to some measure or another. Some in very extreme and grievous ways, and others in lighter ways. And yet we all know what difficulty, we all know what distress, we all know what grief and heartache looks like. Oftentimes our lives feel a lot like the season that we find ourselves in. Not the sentimental Christmas season, but the season that I woke up to this morning that was dreary, that was cold, that was raining, that was bleak. Oftentimes we feel like that, don't we? And so God meets us right where we're at, giving us this word of hope that because of Jesus, we can experience peace. That's what we're going to see this morning. So how do we interact with God? How do we find God in the midst of difficulty and distress? King David is going to show us first that we need to run to the Lord in difficulty. Look again at verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek lies? See, in the midst of difficulty and distress, we all have a choice to make. Will we run to the Lord, or will we walk and move away from him? There's a temptation in the midst of it, isn't there? There's a temptation for us to grow angry, to grow embittered, and to begin, instead of running to the Lord, we begin wagging our finger at him, putting him on trial to explain why he's making us walk through this. We have this choice to make. Will we run to the Lord, or will we walk from him? David was confronted with just that choice. Again, remember the circumstances that verse 2 remind us of. Absalom is defaming his name. He's turning people away from him. He's brought great shame and dishonor upon David. Like, he's in the midst of the darkest moment of his life. He understands distress and difficulty, and in that moment, he has a decision to make. Will he walk away from the Lord? Will he move away from him, distance himself from the Lord, pointing his finger in contempt at him, or will he instead run to the Lord? And what David shows us in the midst of distress and difficulty, what we need most is to run to the Lord. We need to remember that he is gracious. We need to remember that when unrighteousness is going on around us, that we can come into the presence of a righteous God. That we have the ear of the God Most High. That we could respond like David, turning to the Lord, knowing that he hears us. And he hears us because he's gracious. Like, that's good news for you and me this morning. It's good news because I have no business coming into the presence of the Lord. Like, I know that I walk into the presence of the Lord with unclean hands. Like, I have lived most of my life in contempt of the Lord, choosing to go my own way, thinking that I know better, and yet, because of God's grace, he says that there is a way to come into his presence and that he will hear us. I mean, isn't that what the writer of Hebrews tells us? Because of Jesus, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, in the moment where we find ourselves in distress and difficulty, we have a choice to make, and David is trying to remind us that we need to run to the Lord, that the Lord is exactly what we need in that moment and that time of need. So we need to run to the Lord in difficulty, but we also need to remember, you need to remember your identity in distress. Look again at verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. We need to remember in moments of distress, in moments of difficulty, in moments of need, that in Jesus, we are children of God. We need to be reminded of that identity. Because there's this moment, again, where we're tempted to think that God has turned his back on us, that God has left us. At the very least, God is distant and unconcerned with my circumstances in this moment. We're tempted to believe those things. We're tempted to live from a different kind of identity, out of a different story. And what we need to do in that moment is remind ourselves of what is true because of Jesus. That in and through Jesus, that we can become children of God, sons and daughters of God. And so now when I experience and I'm confronted with distress and difficulty, I can remind myself that I have a loving, good, gracious Father, that I'm his child. And that this identity, it's to be rooted in God himself. He says that he sets apart the godly for himself. Like, there's this reminder that God has set apart his children to live in relationship with him. Like, he's restoring what he originally intended. When God created Adam and Eve in his image, in his likeness, they got their identity in relationship to God himself. Like, I understand who I am rightly when I'm in relationship with God. And so in this moment, I need to remind myself of my identity that is brought to me because of Jesus. That I'm a child of God, and that this identity that I have as a child of God, it's intended to remind me that I'm a part of his family. That there is a good, loving Father. Oftentimes, we do the opposite, though, don't we? We find ourselves, distress and difficulty, they tend to show us the identity replacements that we're living for. That we have this tendency to live for anything and everything but Jesus himself. And so what does distress and what does difficulty do? It shows me what I'm really believing. It shows me what I'm really trusting in. It shows me what I'm really living for and what I'm really living from. And so in this moment, David wants us to see that not only are we to run to the Lord, but we're to remember our identity. And then thirdly, we need to reflect. We need to reflect on the inner working of your life. You need to reflect on your soul. Look at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. You see, we need to pause in difficulty and distressing circumstances and look at how our inner life is interacting with our surroundings. How am I responding to what's happening around me? Am I growing anxious? Am I nervous? Am I fearful? What tends to happen in the context of those difficult circumstances, that distressing experience, what tends to happen are two things that David reminds us of. There can be a temptation to grow angry. We need to reflect on our soul. How are we interacting with our circumstances? Because we can have this tendency to become angry in the midst of it. And that anger that might start out being anger with another person, what we know, if we think about it long enough, is that underneath that, really what we're displaying is an anger towards God. He's turned his back. He's left me on my own. If he really loved, then I wouldn't experience these sorts of things. Something must be wrong with me, or else surely he would have brought blessing and not this curse that I'm experiencing. There can grow this moment where we become angry. We're short. And it begins to show itself out in bitterness. He says that we should ponder in our hearts, in our own hearts, and be silent. And yet that's not often our experience, is it? We grow bitter. We begin pointing the finger. We get angry. And what what David's trying to help us see is that in this moment, we need to reflect on our soul and so that we might find God in the midst of these circumstances. That's why the very next verse is telling us that we need to turn to the Lord in worship. Like, what we need in that moment is not anger and not bitterness. Like, those don't end up helping us. What we need in that moment is the Lord. Like, we need him to meet with us. We need his grace and his mercy and his kindness to envelop us. And the only way that that's going to happen is not through anger and bitterness, but rather through turning to the Lord in worship. Trusting him in that moment. Like, we have to understand, we need to gain or regain a more robust understanding of what worship is. I don't mean that in this moment you need to start singing songs. Like, we need instead to have an encounter with God. Like, in that moment, I'm growing angry, and I'm finding myself becoming embittered. I'm going to trust Jesus at his word that is not the best way to live. And instead, I'm going to entrust myself to the Lord. It's difficult and it's hard. But I need to turn from those things and I need to trust in God. You see, when we're focused on ourselves and we grow angry and we grow embittered, it's impossible to worship God. And therefore, it's impossible for us to meet with God. And that's precisely what we need. Like, in the middle of those circumstances that are hard, that are real, like, I don't want to minimize or try to tell you that somehow they'll just melt away because of Jesus. Like, they're real. But in the midst of it, what you need is you need the Lord. And so that's what David is showing us. You see, not only do we need the Lord in the midst of that, but this worship, this trust in God that's real, that's true, that's moment by moment, it helps us think rightly about our distress and our difficulties. It brings things into perspective. Again, we're not talking about minimizing that hurt and that grief, whatever it is that you brought into this room. That's not what we're saying. Not minimizing those things. We're also not saying, come to Jesus and it'll all go away. Like, come to Jesus and get your ice cream sundae in the back and the rest of your life, I mean, it's just going to be bliss. That's not the promise that God makes to us. The promise that he makes to us is not that he'll melt those things away, but that he'll meet us in the midst of it and we'll see that he's enough. That his grace is enough in that moment. Like, that's why it's called faith, because we might not be able to see beyond the horizon. We might not know up from down in the moment. And yet, if we would trust him, we'll discover that his grace is enough. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul reminds us of in 2 Corinthians 12? Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Like, the Apostle Paul knows that his difficulties, his persecutions, his hardships, his insults, his calamities are not going to melt away, but in the midst of it, God is enough. Like, so we need the Lord in that moment. We have to run to the Lord. We need to remember our identity in the Lord. We have to reflect on the inner workings of our heart, and then we need to respond to others in ministry. Look at verse 6. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Again, remember the circumstances. David is with his followers, with his people, and they're holed up in this cave. And the people that are with him are distraught. They're anxious. Like, is there somebody who will tell us something good? Now, if in this moment David is still consumed with anger, if David is still consumed with bitterness, if he's still turned in on himself, he misses an opportunity for service. But because David is reminding himself, he's running to the Lord, he's remembering who he is in the Lord, he's reflecting upon the inner workings of his life and how he's interacting with his circumstances. He's turning from bitterness and anger to worship the Lord. In that moment, now he's able to serve those he's around. Because he's not focused on himself. He's not self-absorbed. He's not only thinking about his distress, but he's reminded that there are people around him who are distressed, and now he is at a place that he can serve those around him. And so what does he do? He prays. Because again, in this moment, what those people need, what you and I need, is we need the Lord, and so that's exactly what he prays. Lord, would you show up? Show us your goodness. Make your face to shine upon us. Like in this moment, when these people are disheartened and discouraged, would you meet with them? Would you show them your goodness? You see, because oftentimes in those circumstances, we can't see the Lord. What we need most in that moment is the Lord, and yet our circumstances tend to blind us to him. We can't see him. And so David prays for them. Like in some ways, this week kind of reminded me of why gospel community is so important. Like here are these men and women who are with David and they're distraught. And yet God uses the community. He uses David to help these people draw their eyes back to the Lord. Like, that's why you and I need to live vitally in gospel community, because there will come a point where you will be in a moment of need, and you will need to have brothers and sisters around you who can point you back to the Lord. Like, you're going to have such a difficulty seeing him. You're not going to be able to see through the circumstances and the difficulty and the distress, and you're going to need brothers and sisters who can remind you of who God is. And not only that, but you need to be vitally connected and involved in gospel community, because the Lord wants to use you to speak into the lives of others. Like, so as I thought about this, I think there's two ways that we can tend to think about gospel community. And the first is to think about it arrogantly. Yeah, these people need me. Like, I need to be a part of gospel community because people need me. Or we can think about it selfishly. I need to be a part of gospel community because I need people who will help me, who will support me, who will befriend me. And so we can pendulum swing between those two extremes. The arrogant who thinks they're just bringing stuff to the table and you all are extremely lucky to have me involved in your lives. Or the other person who's not thinking about anyone else, they're only thinking about what they can consume, how they can use you to get what they need in that moment. I think that's precisely why oftentimes when someone enters into the church because they're lonely and they need friends, and then they find a friend outside of the church, or they start dating someone, they find that boyfriend or that girlfriend, and what happens? They fall off the map because they were only using people. Like in this moment, we need to realize that we need gospel community, because there are going to be moments where you're in need, and there's going to be moments where people around you are in need. And God, what God does in you, he wants to do through you. I mean, that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 reminds us of. That whatever comfort you experience in Jesus, you experience that not only for yourself, but that you might be able to comfort others. Your life is to look like a spring and not a pool. Like, you're not just a recipient of God's grace and kindness and comfort, and it ends there. Oh, isn't this wonderful? But you're to be a spring where God is at work in you, and what he does in you, he wants to do through you. So we need to run to the Lord in difficulty. We need to remember our identity in distress. We need to reflect upon our soul and how we're interacting with our circumstances. We need to respond to other in service and ministry. And finally, we need to receive peace from the Lord. Verse 8, in peace I will both lie down and sleep, For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. See, when the God of grace meets us right where we're at, in the context, in the midst of distress and difficulty and hardship and grief, then we can experience peace. Again, you must remember that David is like us. You cannot read verse 8 and think, here's just another syrupy, sappy, sentimentalized idea from religious people. But you need to remember that these words come from the lips of a man who is in his darkest hour. He's experiencing real difficulty, real distress. He's not some superhuman figure who never experienced grief and hardship. And yet he reminds us that God is extending real grace and real peace to real people. I mean, so much so that he says that in peace I will both lie down and sleep. Like, have you been in those circumstances where times are tough, there's grief or heartache or, you know, difficult circumstances on the horizon, and you lay your head down on that pillow, but sleep is nowhere to be found? David is reminding us that the kind of peace that God can give us, that we can experience because of him, is a peace that both allows us to lie down and to sleep. That there could be real rest that comes because of the Lord. But how? How do we experience the kind of peace that David experienced, that he's reminding us of, that he's pointing us to? Well, I think we need to, as we read Psalm 4, be reminded of another king. Yes, David was on the run. David was hiding out. He was in distress. And yet there was another king who stepped out of the safety and security of his heavenly throne and walked among us. That there was another king who wasn't just in distress and in the midst of difficulty, but actually gave up his very life that men and women like you and me could find life in him. David gives us an example of what it looks like to find peace. Jesus came and gave his very life. He came to rescue. Not just to give us an example of what it looks like to live with God, but to come and to rescue us that we might find rest and peace in him. And so the invitation this morning is to put your trust in that other king, King Jesus. That there's a peace that, like in verse 8, what we need to see is that there is peace to be found with God, and that peace with God that makes us friends, that brings us into his family, that causes us to no longer be his enemies, to be at odds with him, that peace, that kind of peace that reconciles us with God comes from Jesus. And that when we experience peace with God, we then can experience peace from God. And that's the offer and the invitation for each and every one of us this morning, is to experience peace with God, that we might experience peace from God. Because of Jesus, we can experience peace. It's only because of Jesus that we can experience peace with God. There is no other way to come into God's family. You cannot sidestep Jesus. It is an impossibility. It's about giving yourself over to him, turning from everything else and trusting him at his word. And the only way that we're going to be experience peace from God is through Jesus. But what does it look like to follow Jesus in the midst of difficulty and distress? Like, for those of us who have placed faith in Jesus, there are going to come moments and times and seasons where distress and difficulty are all around us. Again, you need to hear this as plainly as I can say it. The invitation to Jesus is not that he's going to melt away all of the problems of your world. That is not the promise of Jesus. If someone has told you that, they are a liar. Like, there is no two ways about it. They lie. I mean, they're not reading the same Bible that you and I are reading if they're telling you that your difficulties and your troubles are going to melt away. But instead, the promise is that we can have Jesus, and we'll discover over time as we trust him moment by moment, day by day, in the midst of difficulty and distress, that he's enough. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in weakness. And so you can experience peace from God through Jesus. I mean, he came that you would experience peace. That's what Advent reminds us of. That in his first coming, he came that he would rescue men and women like you and me, that we could have peace with God and peace from God. He wants to give real comfort. Like, whatever you brought through those doors, like, I know there are men and women in this room who are experiencing distress in this moment. Like, your life hasn't, this past week, looked like that sentimental vision of Christmas. You know distress. You know difficulty. You know hardship. And Jesus wants to give you peace. A peace that's real. A peace that's sturdy. A peace that isn't built on flimsy faith. But a peace that's sure because it's built on him. You and I are going to experience real difficulty and real distress in this life. And when we do, we need to run to the Lord. We need to remember our identity. We need to reflect on our soul. We need to respond to others in service and ministry. We need to receive peace from the Lord. But this should also be a reminder to us that we are not only to receive and experience peace, but we're to extend peace. We're to extend peace to others. What God has done in you, whatever measure of peace you've experienced in your life, whatever comfort you've experienced in your life, he's done that for a purpose. Yes, to serve you, to bless you, to bring comfort in the midst of hardship. But he's done that to further that you might be able to comfort others, that you might be able to serve others, that you might be able to care for others. And so we're called to extend peace, to saturate our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our classrooms, our world with the peace that comes from Jesus. And so that's the invitation this morning, to trust Jesus in the midst of the real. To trust him that he's enough, to trust him at his word. And as he begins his work in you, that you would see an opportunity to extend peace to others. That you would help men and women who are far from Jesus to experience peace. And not only that, but that you would work in such a way that you would seek to extend peace in gospel community with brothers and sisters. In real time. Like, that you would have real relationships with real people that don't exist merely on social media. Facebook's not real. Like, you need to know this. Because some of us spend way more time in Facebook than we do, like, face-to-face. Like, so maybe in this moment we're reminded that we're to extend peace that comes from Jesus to those who are far from him, that they might come into his family, and that those who are in his family might experience peace as we live together vitally as brothers and sisters, as part of the family of God. And this all comes because of Jesus. Like, the Lord's Supper should be a reminder to us, even in this moment, that we're able to experience peace with God because of Jesus' great distress. Like, his distress didn't just put him on the run. It actually led to the cross, where he willingly and sacrificially gave of his life as a ransom for many, that you and I might be able to experience peace in this life. He came to rescue, to redeem, The cross is God's reminder that one day he will restore all things, that while you might be going through difficulty and distress in this moment or in the moments to come, there is one day coming where God will restore all things, and that began on the cross. And so in this moment, then, we have an opportunity to worship. We have an opportunity to take our minds off of the distress and difficulty of this moment and to place them firmly on Jesus. Not because that's going to cause things to magically get better, but because we need to meet with the Lord in the midst of it. And so if you know Jesus, then this is an invitation to come and to worship him. As you take the bread representing his broken body and you dip it in the cup and you eat, it's a reminder that Jesus came to rescue. And the means by which that is made possible is through his death on your behalf. That's good news this Christmas. Because of Jesus, we can experience peace. Let's think on that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for a peace that comes from you. A peace that's sturdy, that's firm, that's gritty, that's real. And no matter what baggage we brought through those doors, that in this moment we can trust in you, that we can draw our eyes off of the distress and the difficulty and place them on you. Having a confidence that you will bring peace. So Lord, would you help us to trust you in this moment? For some of us, that's going to be extremely difficult because of the circumstances we're experiencing. But Lord, we need you. We need your goodness and your kindness, your grace and your mercy. And so in this moment, would you help us to trust you? We pray this by Jesus' name. Amen.